The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. The solemnity is the highest ranking feast. There are feasts, there are memorials. Solemnity is the highest. So this is an important feast. But I want to start with something that has absolutely nothing to do with the solemnity, although it might tell us something about our problems today in the church. So I want to show you this. This is what I want to talk about. This was a great marketing plan, right? Wheaties. Now you fill in the blank. Wheaties is the breakfast of champions. See, you all know it. You all know it. You want to be a champion? Who wants to be a champion? Are you eating your Wheaties? You think you're going to show up on one of these boxes someday? No, you're not. I don't have time to look like this. But here, look at this. And when you're in the cereal aisle, look at the color. You know, you're kind of walking through, and boom, here's this orange. It pops out, and it's saying to you, hey, you want to be a champion. Eat this. Eat this, you'll be a champion. So what a marketing ploy. We all know what the phrase, Feast of Champions. I don't know whether you eat it or not, but it's been around for decades, and it's probably still going strong. And I assume, did you younger kids know the phrase, Breakfast of Champions? You did. Okay, so young or old. Wow, what great propaganda, really, isn't it? It's wonderful. And if you said to people, do you want to be a champion? Of course people are going to say, I want to be a champion. I want to be strong and powerful. I want to be famous. I want to be on this box. I want people to see me. And so we buy the product. Now, just eating Wheaties is not going to make us a champion. It's not going to make us a good athlete. There's a lot of other things that go into it. But it grabs our attention. And certainly, probably in our youth, we thought, yeah, maybe I should eat some Wheaties. Maybe I will gain some weight and muscle, and people will look at me and say, boy, that's a well-formed person. But that's how powerful these earthly propaganda ploys are. We call it, you know, Wall Street and Madison Avenue selling us a product, and we willingly buy it, and people still willingly buy it. Now, today we're celebrating the solemnity of the most precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, do we have some kind of marketing plan
that is in any way as successful as the marketing plan for Wheaties. Now, Wheaties has been around for maybe 50, 60, 70 years. How long has the body and blood of Jesus Christ been around? 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And what we're supposed to be doing and believing is that that's the real breakfast of champions, the body and blood of Christ, or the food of divinity. In fact, maybe that's our plan. We should say Wheaties is the breakfast of champions, but Jesus is the food of divinity. Wouldn't that get people's attention? I hope it would. And say, well, what do you mean, food of divinity? What's that all about? Well, we'd have to explain it. Now, the sad news is, and you probably already know this, that about 60% of Catholics do not believe that what happens here is that ordinary bread and wine truly become the very flesh and blood of God. That's what we teach, that's what we preach, that's what we believe. But 60% of Catholics don't know it, but don't believe it. So they're not buying the product. They're not coming into this church. If we offered everyone who passes by a free box of Wheaties every week, do you think this church would be full? Yeah, it would be. I'd stop in for a free box of Wheaties. Well, what we have to offer, or I would say what God has to offer, is something much, 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 much greater. It's the food of divinity. What I mean by that, it's divine food because it is the flesh and blood of the Almighty God. So it's divine food, and it's given to us so that we can become divine. So that we can become divine, because only divine beings can share heaven with God, the divine person, being. So that's what God is giving to us. But again, to read those statistics, it's like we shouldn't call this the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ. We should say it's the calamity of the body and blood of Christ, because it's calamitous that so many Catholics don't believe this. And even if we do believe it, if we believe this is a fact, I believe it, that doesn't necessarily mean either that we live what we say we believe. That's the real crunch point. Because we can say, yes, I believe it's truly the body and blood, but when I go out those doors, I go right back into my old routines, which really have nothing to do necessarily with the work of the gospel. So just receiving the body and blood is not miraculous. Well, it's miraculous, but it's not magical. It's not going to change me if I don't want to be changed. I'll give you proof of that. In the Old Testament, what did the Israelites get in the desert? They got manna, miraculous food, the food of the angels, bread of the angels. They knew this was coming from God because they went out and collected it and then made it into bread. They knew this came from God. Did that mean they were always faithful to God? No. No. So here they are getting firsthand, visually, and they also got partridges too, meat. They're seeing this firsthand and gaining something. Their physical hunger is being satisfied, but there was something still missing for many of them, to the point that they could not enter right away into the promised land because the people were unfaithful. So God said, go back into the desert for 40 more years until all the older folk had died off, those who were unfaithful, and then we'll let the young ones, who hopefully are faithful, inherit the promised land. Now, what if we did that with the 60% of Catholics who don't believe? You know, let them die off and then hope the children will come forward and believe. Well, that's not going to happen, but you see my point. We're talking about something amazing, and we can go to those Catholics and to non-Catholics and give them the facts. We can do that very easily. We can say, what we Catholics do at Mass is we celebrate the goodness of God. We celebrate the fact that God so loved us, he became a human being, and he left this memorial, which we call the Mass, for us every week so that we can continue to eat his body and drink his blood and be changed, become disciples, and one day become more fully divine so we can share heaven with God. Now, we can say that all we want to fallen away Catholics or to non-Catholics. Is that really going to change their views? I don't think so. And the same with us. If we don't have a real hunger, longing, which is 24/7, not just the hour of Mass, but 24/7, this hunger and longing for Jesus Christ, who is constantly coming to us, if we don't want this communion with God 24/7, and we keep looking for it wherever we go, whether we go to work or we go to school or we're doing the laundry, and that hunger is there, and I say consciously to myself, God's everything to me. God, I want to get closer to you. I want to know you more perfectly. I want to do anything for you. If we had that kind of hunger and longing, then we'd start convincing people out in the world that what we believe is true, because people would see us not just talking about it, but living it, living it. And we would be saying to them, I'm a sinner, but God still loves me, and he makes me worthy. He forgives my sins. We'd be sharing our guts with other people. And you know as well as I do that when someone shares something very important to them, something very emotional, that really grabs our attention, doesn't it? Because they are revealing to us something that's so profound and in their hearts that we listen to them. And that's the ideal, of course, of what we Catholics are supposed to be undergoing, this heart change every single day, so that we're not satisfied with receiving communion on Sunday. That's not enough. But in fact, we want to receive it more and more and more. In fact, that's really what the body and blood communion is supposed to be doing, not to satisfy our hunger, but to make us more hungry, to make us long more for God. And I know from my own experience, people, doesn't matter who they are, whether they're old or young, whether they're severely mentally ill, doesn't matter. When people like that who share that their desire for God, and it's a genuine desire, I as a person look at them, I go, wow, that person really depends on God. They really want God in their lives. They long for God. They hunger for God. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as Catholics, to hunger so much for God that it's apparent out there. We're never going to be satisfied. And people see that and they'll want to say, why aren't you satisfied? You see always, you want more. I do want more, but it's not money, it's not buildings, it's not vacations. It's this living God who wants me to be emotionally attached to him, to recognize him as my Savior, as the one who is everything in my life. And so when I receive communion, it's kind of a capstone or a mountain event, because I really get the opportunity to actually take his very flesh and eat it, and his very blood and drink it. And this should be profoundly powerful in my life so that I am changed. So here we are with 60% of Catholics who don't believe, and I'm assuming everybody here does believe it truly is the body and blood of Christ, and that hopefully every Sunday, one small way in which we show our belief is that we come here so that we can celebrate with our brothers and sisters this great memorial God has given to us, and maybe even hopefully we're going to be praying that, God, make me hungry. Make me long for you. You know, a lot of people have said because of COVID, they've been away from friends and they so much want to get together with them. And when they do, it's like this emotional flood happens. That's what our relationship with God is supposed to be like. And not just because of COVID or because of one day during the week, but every week we keep pushing up that desire, that longing, that hunger for God. So that, you know, Wheaties, great PR plan, did a great job, but we should be doing far better than we are doing with our own beliefs and selling those beliefs, meaning teaching people about them, leading people, not just saying this is the body and blood of Christ, but rather saying that and then showing them how it has made a difference in our lives, how we no longer are as unkind maybe as we used to be, or we're willing to go up to someone and say, can I help you? Or to just listen to people. That is in short supply. And all the people who are experts on evangelization say, the first thing we have to do is find out who these people are, which means to listen. And I would say to listen to them to find out what their hunger is. Everybody's got a hunger. Hunger for God, that's the basic one. But there are other hungers too. Hunger, for example, for healing because of past wounds. Do we listen to people about that? And then as representatives of Christ, help them to find that healing in Christ and in this community of believers. But hunger, it's a bad thing when people are deprived of the basic necessities, nutrition. It's a good thing in religion when we hunger for more of the Lord. And there's never an end to what God wants to give us. We will never be satisfied if we truly desire to hunger for the Lord. So here we're celebrating this amazing gift that God has given us. We're remembering that there are far too many people that don't believe it. But okay, so they're out there, but we're here. So what are we going to commit ourselves to? Are we going to pray to be hungry? To be hungry for the Lord, to say to the Lord, Lord, really give me a desire for you, to be with you, to know you, to lean on you, to trust you, to be grateful, and to pray that we will take that hunger and show it in the world, and perhaps show the wounds that we have had healed because they have been healed by God through our reception of the body and blood of Christ. That's the great medicine in the world, God, and particularly his flesh and blood. It's true medicine, real medicine, for what ails us. So we have all this wonderful information, the facts, the knowledge, but do we take the power behind what we believe and take it out into the world? So again, I'm going to invite you to pray for hunger, hunger of God, desire for God, longing for God, and then a second hunger, a hunger to go out to people and listen to them, what their hungers are. And little by little to lead them to Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can satisfy human hunger, the only one ultimately. And so instead of the breakfast of champions, we're talking about the food of divinity, the bread of divinity, which changes us, gives us new life, makes us hunger even more for the goodness of God, so that we can be on fire disciples. But there, that's where we come in. We have to continue to commit ourselves to God, to pick ourselves up, ask for forgiveness, ask for healing, heal other people, do what we're called to do as disciples so that we are truly living this feast. It's not just a feast that comes once a year, but it's a feast we can celebrate every single day. And it's really our feast because it's all for us and for everyone outside those doors. So it's a big commitment, but God says you can do it. Because I give you my very being. So we carry him physically in our bodies when we go out those doors. What greater companion can we have than we have God in our flesh and blood? Because he has given us his flesh and blood.